Hey, it's Brian. I am a typical sports guy, which means I grew up in the 80s and 90s loving Georgetown basketball. Watching Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, and even Patrick Ewing, although he was a little bit early for me, play games against Syracuse was like a dream Saturday afternoon for me in the winters of my youth. Funny thing is, as a sports fan, you don't think of schools as institution of higher learning. You value them by the strength of their teams. It's pathetic, I get it, but that's it. I thought, you know, these schools were good based on their teams being good. I never realized back in that time that Georgetown is one of the best schools in the nation. Now I definitely know that. And the good news is, you can get a master's from Georgetown and open up doors in your sports career. Georgetown offers a part-time master's in sports industry management that prepares you to excel in the global sports industry. It's ideal for working professionals. You can keep working while you earn your degree because there's flexible options to take your classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both. You don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. You're going to leave the program with the communication, business, and leadership strategies that will position you for success. This is cool. You can go to Georgetown online or part-time. It's really great, and get your master's. To learn more about the program, you're invited to attend an upcoming webinar, which is on Tuesday, October 29th at noon Eastern Time. Visit scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar to RSVP and book your seat. One more time, scs.georgetown.edu/sportswebinar to RSVP. I will put the link in the show notes of this episode as well, so you can find that link if that was a little hard for you to write down while you're driving in your car. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by the Work in Sports Academy, 4 online courses built by yours truly, that's this guy, to give you the insight and knowledge into getting hired in the sports industry. It is competitive out there. It is hard to get in, but trust me, when you do, you are going to love it. And getting into a career you love is worth the effort. Check out our online courses that will give you a leg up. Visit workinsports.com/academy today. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. Sorry for being a day late, everybody. My apologies. Trust me, my intent is always to do a Monday and Wednesday episode, but you know, life and work and stuff. And so I'm a day late today, and you're going to forgive me because you like this stuff and you're happy when you turned on your phone today and you saw, whoa, there's a Tuesday episode. It was a nice surprise, right? That's what I'm banking on. So I've had a lot of questions come in recently, and this is interesting. You always see these little patterns that emerge of like questions that come up. All of a sudden you'll get like 3 or 4 in the same kind of subject or more, sometimes 10. And somewhere out there, there must be a push for this thing because a lot of people are asking questions about it. I've had a lot of questions come in recently about the validity of using a competency-based resume rather than a traditional chronological style. It's a new technique, not really even new. It's been around for years, but I guess it's getting a little bit more mainstream. I have some thoughts on the technique, but before I get into that subject, I reached out to 5 or 6 of my friends in the industry who are directly connected to talent acquisition. These are the people on the front lines of hiring who look at resumes and evaluate candidates all day long. And I've started to get some really interesting feedback. So I'm going to put that all together for next week's Monday episode. Next week's Monday episode. I wanted to get the experts' thought and feedback before I started telling you my thoughts, because in all honesty, the thoughts of Malin Vu with the Cleveland Indians and Colleen Scholes with the Philadelphia Eagles and Mark Coscarello with the USGA and more that are kind of keeping it on the down low are far, far more valuable than my thoughts. I mean, they are. They do this every day. This is exactly what they do. So hold on for that. Expect it soon. Well, next Monday. I've really also been working really hard on guest booking for the next few weeks. Last few weeks, I've been booking a lot of guests. Longtime listeners of podcasts have noticed that I've rerun a couple of our all-time best the last couple of weeks, Lee Steinberg and Mike Judge. This is happening as I ramp up a new wave of guests on the show. But remember, the cool thing about this program and the way that I tried to build it was that every interview, every QA session, everything is just as relevant today as it was the day I published it. I don't make anything with dated information. I try to make everything, every question, every fact, every little piece, every conversation I try to make have is valid for a long period of time. So look at any episode and it still works. That's why I'm able to bring back some of these episodes. So we do have some really cool guests coming down the line, which have me really, really excited. I'm doing a lot of question generation this week so I can and prep some of these interviews. I'm trying to reach outside of where we've been before and try to get some different types of guests. So I'm really excited about that. I never like to say who the guests are until I've actually taped the interview, because sometimes that's gotten me in trouble where I've overpromised something and then somebody decided not to show up or change their mind or whatever. It happens. So anyway, we'll get on with the show. That leaves us today with a great question that came in from Justin in Ohio. Justin writes in, says, this is Justin talking now. Hey, Brian, huge fan of the show. I've listened to every single episode. In fact, when I have long drives, I often go back and pick a few episodes to listen to again. I like your style and it's easy to engage with your content and learn important techniques that help my career. Thanks, Justin. I am officially blushing. One question I wonder if you could expand upon is the importance of soft skills and how you can sell them on a resume, cover letter, and interview process. I find it hard to show how great of a team player I am, but I know it is incredibly important. You know, Justin, this is a really good question, because what you're kind of saying is, I know that I can sell myself in the environment face to face. You ask about interview process too, but really, you can sell soft skills when you're face to face with somebody. But you got to get to that point. You got to get to the face-to-face point. And sometimes if you can let it be known earlier in the process when they're reviewing your resume or your cover letter that you have the right soft skills, that's the magic bullet right there. So there's two. Let's go back for a second. There are two major parts of the hiring process. There are a lot of parts, but there's two major overarching themes: competency and cultural fit. Or you could call them hard skills and soft skills. But I kind of like competency and cultural fit because it kind of sounds better. Those are fancier words. I mean, competency is, I don't know, cooler than hard skills. Step one, competency. Can this candidate do the job? I mean, do they have the skills? Can they show me examples of how they accomplished what we need? Like, do I feel confident hiring this person, they'll be able to do the job? Can they prove that? That's the competency. It's more than I'm a big fan or I really love sports or it's always been my dream to work in sports. Those are statements about what the person wants. Like, I am a big fan. I really love sports. It's always been my dream to work in sports. That's about them. The employer is looking at it. Are you competent to do something that can help us? Are you going to be have the skills that we need? And can you make a positive difference at our organization? You aren't going to get interviews if you don't have the primary competencies to do the job as required. So again, I'll say it for the 10,000th time, don't apply for jobs you aren't qualified for, because all you're doing is wasting everyone's time. Okay, so all you have to do is focus in on applying for jobs you are qualified for, or if you have a certain job that you want to get those qualifications so that you can then be qualified to apply for it. Step two, though, after they've established that you're a cultural fit. So let me actually use an example from my own history and background a little bit. So I got hired right out of college at CNN Sports Illustrated. I know I'm a broken record. I've told that 10,000 times, and you probably are all annoyed hearing that. But I got hired out of college by a major media organization. And why? Well, they looked at my resume, and I had the skills that they needed, right? I had exactly the skills that they wanted. And because of that, I got through step one and I earned a phone call, right? That's all I earned. My competencies got me on the phone with them. So I had the competency, they called me. And then on the phone call, I got to prove my competency. Like, I had to get to back it up through their questioning, but I also got to start selling myself and my soft skills, right? Start to show that I have the the attitude and the work ethic and the, you know, leadership skills and the teamwork skills, all those things. You start to show that you're a cultural fit. And then I progress down the path of hiring because of that. It's not complex. This is not like some crazy system. So step two, after they establish that you have the competency, it's, does this person have the other skills to thrive in our organization outside of, can they, you know, move the box from here to there? Yeah, obviously that's not really what you're going to do, but can you do nonlinear editing? Can you do audio editing? Can you, you know, write a press release? Can you do these certain things? Have you done marketing projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Then they're trying to establish, do you mesh well with our culture, our people, our expectations? Are you a leader? Are you at least a potential leader? Can you work as part of a team? Do you have a strong work ethic? Well, this is a much squishier conversation. You know, it isn't always black and white or rife with data. Like, I can tell you, I can prove to you that I'm competent in social media because on my last job, I increased our Twitter followers by 28%. You know, that's data that tells the story for me. It's a proof of concept. Well, how do I prove that I'm a good listener or that I have great work ethic or that I have, leadership skills? Well, it's a little harder. You can do it, but it's a little harder. Most of the time, it's not data driven. Sometimes it can be. Like if you had on your resume that you led a team of four interns increasing year over year production by 17%. Well, that's a pretty good data driven indicator. You have some leadership skills, right? You led a team and increased production. That's good. Okay. So use that kind of stuff. But soft skills in general are harder to quantify. They're harder to sell on a piece of paper. And that's where the interview process becomes so important, right? Charisma, leadership, teamwork, they all become more evident when you are face to face with somebody. Employers have this process of identifying skills matches. You know, they figure out if a person is qualified to do the job. And then they're asking themselves, does this person fit in around here? And they have their ways of doing that when they're face to face with somebody. You know, the people in talent acquisition are really good at ferreting out your cultural fit and how you're going to your other soft skills when they're on the phone with you. They have good ways of asking questions and digging and getting reading between the lines and whatever to figure out if you fit. But again, what we're talking about is how do you start to sprinkle in those soft skills in your competency materials. So I'd consider your competency materials your resume and your cover letter, right? That's when they're going to start to first analyze whether you are competent enough to do the job. Well, how do you start to sell your soft skills in there? Like, that's the actual perfect spot. Because what you want somebody to do is look at your resume and say, they meet all the qualifications, they are qualified, they are competent, and they're also starting to tell me the right story here. I'm starting to feel like they are also laden with the soft skills that are important for our organization. So let's dig into that. Let's dig into how you do that. Let's unpack that concept. It starts with phrasing and using some of the right words and techniques. So leadership and teamwork are two of the biggest, most important soft skills employers want you to have. It really is. Everything kind of starts with listening, right? If you're a good listener, then it always gets back to being a good leader and working as part of a team. Those are instrumental facts. Every hiring manager I've ever talked to in my career wants someone who listens well for a myriad of reasons. Number one, they want to know you will listen and follow instructions. So that's a very tactical kind of reason. But there's nothing worse than as being a boss. And when you give your team instructions and then people look at you with that, wait, what? Look on their face. Oh my gosh. It makes you want to crush people. But you can't do that when you're a boss. You can't crush people. Even though you want to often, I'm going to need you to listen is what you want to say to people over and over again. Like they're looking at you with that blank look like, wait, what were you talking to me? And you're like, listen, I'm going to need you to listen. That's what I need from you right now. Anyway, but listening jumps into leadership too. I mean, how can you help others around you if you aren't listening to their trouble spots or challenges or roadblocks? And there's no better signal to your employees or coworkers or the interns who surround your desk that you actually care than to listen to them, right? That is like the easiest way to tell everyone around you that you're engaged and care in where they develop and go. You listen, right? As a culture, society, species, we are not good at this. We are always thinking of what we want next, or what we want to say when the other person is done. That's pretty crappy when you think of it. Pretty selfish. Something I've had to work on a lot too, because, hey, I do it. I'm not saying that I don't. Okay, but it's impossible to be a good leader or a good teammate if you aren't a good listener. So focus on that soft skill. But again, how do you sell this in a resume? I mean, saying you're a good listener sounds kind of cheesy, kind of inauthentic. Like, it almost sounds like you're just filling space on your resume. The best approach is to give as much detail as you can, as succinctly as you can. Remember, get to the point without spelling it out, I guess is my point. But what I'm saying here is, remember, hiring managers and talent acquisition people are very highly skilled at understanding the true meaning of a lot of your sentences and phrases, like what you're really trying to get at without spelling it out. So here's an example. In your cover letter, you're not going to say, I'm a good listener. That's cliche. That's kind of stupid. Don't do that. Use an example. Okay. Use something. Tell part of your story. Worked as part of a cross-functional group focused on promotional elements, which included 4 members of the sales team, 3 in marketing, and a graphic designer. Set the strategy and communication plan for the team, resulting in a 24% increase in ticket sales from promotions year over year. Okay, what did I say in this sentence? You told a little bit of story about your experience. You worked as part of a cross-functional group focused on promotional elements. Okay, so you have a focus. And you worked as part of a cross-functional group, meaning that you worked with members of other departments. Okay, so right there, team. Okay, team. Included 4 members of the sales team, 3 in marketing, and a graphic designer. Team. That was your team for this project. You set the strategy and communication plan for the team, resulting in a 24% increase in ticket sales from promotions year after year, year over year. By emphasizing that you work cross-functionally, that means across multiple groups, with multiple members in different departments, and were able to churn out positive results, you are speaking the language of hiring managers. You're saying, this person, me, I can listen, I can lead, I can work as part of a team, or else in this situation, you would not have had results. So the results help to establish the sentence, the part of the sentence before it. Like, if you said all of that, that you just worked as part of a team, but didn't cap it off with, and we had a 24% increase in ticket sales, well, then you're not showing that you can really function well as a team. You're just showing that you had an assignment where you had to work as a group. You know, it's like having a college assignment where you had to work as a group. Well, if you got an F on the project, it doesn't mean you're a good team. If you got an A, bada bing, you're a good team, right? Now, you know how much I love metrics. I talk about them all the time. And in this one sentence, you are able to say you are competent, you are able to use data, and you're also to tell someone, I'm a leader who works in multiple departments, across multiple departments. Always be ready to share these types of examples. I say it all the time. In your cover letter, you should be telling little stories about how you've worked as part of a team, or how you were a leader at a certain time, or how, by listening to your interns, you understood that there was a problem with the process and you reworked the process and you increased morale. And like, there's so many ways that you can say you're a good listener without saying you're a good listener. There's so many ways you can tell a story about working as a team and functioning well as a team that shows you're good at teamwork. And you can tell a story. I've told a story in the podcast before about having to work overnight because one of our systems crashed because we had to get something done on the air. I tell that story because I know it's sending this message of having the right work ethic. So think through those terms, right? Those terms of work ethic, those terms of leadership and listening and teamwork. And think about how you can tell stories that revolve around those concepts in your cover letter. That's how you start to have a cover letter that starts to bridge that gap of communication and starts to explain you are more than just competency. You're also a cultural fit. Also, always be ready to talk in your interviews with more examples. In your interviews, you have to have examples of experience. You have to have examples of when you led a team. You have to have examples of when you worked as part of a team, or when you listened to somebody's problems and it led to a change in process. These are the kind of stories you want to be able to regurgitate. And you don't have to have 50 of them. You need to have 3 or 4 or 2 or 3. You can use them for every single interview you go on. but just have a couple of stories you can pull out to start telling these examples, these proofs of concept of how you perform on the job. Always, always, always have stories and specific examples you can share. Oh boy, enunciating. In addition, here are a couple more words that you should use to help sell your overall communication skills. Okay. You want to talk about things: writing, presenting, mentoring, negotiating, training. Those are concepts that if you expand upon, if you're in charge of training staff, well, that shows that you are a leader and you listen and you are patient. It gives off those soft skills vibes. If you negotiate, well, that means you're good at communicating. You're good at speaking. You're confident. You know, again, a big set of soft skills. If you're presenting, again, you're confident. You're able to get up on stage. You're able to talk in front of a group of people. You're going to be well spoken. All these are communication skills and soft skills that are really important. So look for ways to weave in some of those terms, because I'm telling you, hiring managers see those, that you're in charge of training staff or you're negotiating contracts or whatever. And they're going to say, okay, this is more than just a competency. This is also the soft skills that you can embody these things in your resume and materials, and they'll sell you as a strong communicator and leader. All right, Justin, that should handle a little bit of how to weave your soft skills into your early competency materials, your resume and your cover letter, and then bringing them out even further and deeper into your interview process. So hopefully that helps you really sell yourself in your next interview or your next application. I will tell you, we are over 20,000 jobs on Work in Sports right now, 20,000 active sports jobs in the sports industry. So when you come to our site and you're a premium member, you are able to access all the jobs that are available in the sports industry, high and low, big teams, little teams, minor league teams, small agencies, newspapers, I mean, wherever, all across the country, everywhere. So check out our site, because that's where you're going to find these opportunities you can apply to. WorkinSports.com, people. All right. That does it for today's episode. Tune in on Wednesday for another great episode. Thank you again for listening. Subscribe. Give us a good review wherever you listen. Say good things about us on social media. If you see, there was a poll yesterday the sports management program put out on Twitter. It said, what are the sports business podcasts that you listen to? And I wanted all of you to respond and say, I listen to the Work in Sports podcast. So, you know, look for those opportunities. Help a brother out here. I'm putting in a lot of work here to get this show out here, and they can give you this advice. So do me a solid. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. It's time to get back to work.